Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is the Define It Girl Radio Show. I'm your host, Jessica Nevins, and today we are continuing our Invoking the Muse interview series, and we've got part 7 on tap today, and I have brought in for you another amazing guest. I have Steph Woods with me. Hello, Steph. Welcome.
Hello.
I just want to tell everyone a little bit about you before we start getting into it. So our audience has a background on you. You know, once again, we've brought in some amazing people in all walks of creativity and beyond. So just to give you a little background on Steph. Steph Woods was born in a small town near Sacramento and grew up in Southern California. She has danced her whole life and has always been inclined toward an artistic life. When it came for her time for her to go to college, getting a degree in dance was the only thing that made sense to her. After graduating from UCLA, and I just want to give you big props on that because I'm a huge Bruins fan.
Yes.
Yay, go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Yes, and feeling a little lost for work, Steph fell into yoga and has been in love ever since. Her passion for yoga sparked a fire within her like never before, and now yoga is her full-time job and joy. As an instructor and studio manager, she loves that her daily life is committed to sharing health, happiness, empowerment, and self-love with others. Steph started her own dance company, Eighth Limb Dance, which combines dance and yoga into a fun and unique style of movement. Eighth Limb has performed and taught at music festivals throughout Southern California as well as in Los Angeles. The company currently hosts a once-monthly donation-based workshop in Costa Mesa. For all of you that are local in the SoCal area, check that out. Through sharing the power and beauty of movement, Steph's goal is to help others see their own potential and inspire them to pursue fulfillment, passion, and purpose in their own lives. Outside of yoga and dance, her biggest passions are live music, yay, spending time in nature, and of course, spending time with her friends and family. Her main ideals to live by are gratitude and love in every way and every day. Once again, Steph, welcome. We are so happy to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and chat with you.
Yay, yay. And I love that you said that gratitude and love are a way of life for you, because that's something we talk a lot about on the show, are those two things, and we talk a lot about allowing. And I think these are things that are part and parcel with yoga, but it's also a beautiful way to live life. And it sounds like you've been living your life that way for a while. So if you could just kind of tell our audience how that has changed your way of being, that would be a great way to lead in today.
Yeah, I mean, for me, yoga has definitely amplified those ideals and all kinds of positivities in my life. But I think throughout my life, I've had so many experiences where it's clear to see that when you focus your attention and your energy and your way of looking at things through the eyes of being grateful and through the eyes of loving in every way, the way that you interact with people, the way that you view your own life and life in general, it starts to shift the way that life kind of treats you, the way that life presents itself to you. And the more, you see quotes about it on the internet all the time, but when you put it into practice, it's so true. The more you practice gratitude, the more things you have to be grateful for. And it's just so apparent, you know, if you are having a bad day and you just start thinking about all the bad things in your day, then you're going to keep having a bad day, you know?
Right. Right. And I've noticed that in my own life personally. And I love how you said to focus on the gratitude, and then more things to be grateful for will come into your life. It's almost, you know, this energy that goes out, and whatever you put out comes back to you. At least that's how I see it. Is that how you see it too?
Definitely, yeah. And I have a practice that I do actually where I try to remember, and sometimes I forget, but I do try to always wake up every morning and list out loud at least 5 things that I'm grateful for. And before I go to bed each night, list out loud 5 things at least that I'm grateful for. And usually there's like way more than 5. And I'll walk around and I'll be getting ready for my day. But just saying out loud what you're grateful for reminds you of all the things that you really do have in your life, because there's always something to be grateful for. And when you focus on those things, again, it really, your whole day shifts and you start your day off in this positive space. And then the way that you interact with other people, it's more positive, and then they treat you better, you treat them better, and it just trickles throughout your day and throughout your life. It's 100%. It just always works for me.
I love that. And I have a similar practice, and, you know, I wake up in the morning and the first thing, you know, out of my lips is thank you, and figuring out what that thank you for. And there's so, like you said, there's so many things, and it, like, the list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer, like, every day. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, how do you boil it down to just a few things? But I found that as far as, you know, being in that state, it really helps to remove any kind of barriers that might drop in for, you know, as Steph knows, and as most of you out there in the audience know, I do write. So sometimes when I'm writing, if I run into blocks, all I do is I go into gratitude, and that seems to, like, soften it. And in time, the writer's block lifts. And I do that a lot with my business, too, because with business, you can get all up in your head, and it can get a little crazy. So instead, I go into gratitude. And actually, when I go into gratitude and drop down into my body, and I'd love to talk to you about this, about the, like, dropping down into your body, how important that is. But when you drop down into your body, it actually, it's almost like it opens everything up for me. And all of a sudden, I'm able to get inspiration again. It's really amazing how that is. And it's like just getting out of your head and getting, like, into your body and getting centered there. And then all of a sudden, like, a whole new world opens up. Like, has that been your experience too?
Yeah, I mean, 100%, especially because dance and yoga are my modalities, and that's my main way of communicating and creating. That's 100% it for me. You know, I have quotes writer's block when I'm choreographing a dance all the time. It's that space of creativity that's so hard, where you realize that anything is possible, and because of that, you're like, well, then where do I start? And for me, the most important thing is to just start. It doesn't matter. And to, like, let go of any idea of wanting it to look good and come into that space of just like, well, I can just move, or whatever it is. I can just write. I can just, and just start doing it, and be grateful for the fact that you're doing it, regardless of what the outcome might be. And once you just take that first step of action and you come into it with that positive mindset, the very first thing that you know, move into or that you create is not going to probably be the absolute best thing that you end up publishing or putting out into the public, but it gets you on that track to create the thing that you do want to share.
I love that. And I love that because what I'm hearing in that, and this is so beautiful, is that just as long as you allow yourself into your creative process without judgment of what's coming through, then it's like it opens the door to actually creating something that you do love. But you have to kind of, like, release judgment on those, you know, like those first drafts or those first rehearsals or whatever it is. You just kind of have to let them be the way they are and not, you know, try not to look at them and say, this isn't what I want, or this isn't the right thing, or this isn't good enough. I think when we get into judgment over an idea, like you were saying, like trying to fit it into a box, or, you know, just getting past the awkward stage. We've talked about on our show before, we've talked about the awkward stage in creating. I've actually approached this with a lot of the people that have been in this interview series, because, and you started to allude to this, what you were just saying, is that, you know, you start something really excited, and then as you get into it, you're like, this isn't quite turning out like I thought. And you start to, you know, it's almost like a little bit of uneasy. There's an uneasy feeling. There's a, I don't know if I'm going the right direction. But if you just keep moving through it without, you know, reserving judgment, just moving through it, then you'll actually get to the beauty of creation, you know, and creating something that's really amazing. Has that been your experience? Like when you're first starting out with something, you know, I heard you say you just take like the first step or the first movement.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, you're talking about releasing judgment, and that's a big part of it. But for me, it's releasing three things: releasing judgment, releasing fear, and releasing expectations. And we put such high expectations on ourselves and on each other. And so when you get into this, and creating is such a vulnerable space, because it's not, you know, it's not just putting out 1 + 1 = 2. It's putting out your heart and soul when you're creating. And so it's incredibly vulnerable. And so the fear of being judged puts us in this space of high expectation for ourselves and for others. Mm. And so that those things combined, I think, are what bogs people down. And I know so many artists, and it's like sometimes you just get in this space where you want to almost like hide in a cave and not even start because it's scary. But if you can just breathe and be like, you know what, I'm going to let go of the judgment. I'm going to let go of any expectations, and I am just going to start doing this thing simply because I like to do it. And don't expect to make the best thing ever right away, because that doesn't matter when you're just starting. Mm-hmm. Like it's just the idea of just starting, doing it because you love it, and putting yourself into it, really. Can I curse?
Oh, God, yes, please.
Okay, I was going to say not half-assing anything. You know, like just start and put your whole booty into it, and you're going to make something that's worthwhile. You know, it doesn't have to be the best. It has to be heartfelt, and it has to be done. And it's not going to get done if you sit in fear, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And that's true, because, gosh, that's an amazing point, the fear and the expectation, because those two together, like wound up together, can really want to take you out of the game. You know, it's especially the expectation of, and it's something that you've been doing for a while. You know, maybe you're thinking in your mind, oh, well, they're expecting it to look this way, or my audience is expecting this, or they're expecting that. And that's such a trap. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's such a powerful tool, is to spot that and say, oh, you know, and is it your own expectation, or is it, you know, an external expectation, maybe one that, you know, you've been looking for a little too much in your life, or things like that. You know, there was a show that we had months ago where we talked about the danger of looking to external to get validation, or looking to the external. And especially when you're in a creative field, there is a huge danger in looking to the external to validate whatever it is you just created. And I think that ties in with what you were talking about with expectation. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's reminding me of just what I mentioned about the fact that art comes from so deep within you, you know, that it's mm-hmm. hard to, when you take these external things and try to place them and fit them into the picture of what your art and what your creative thing is going to look like. And art doesn't have to mean a painting, right? To clarify, art
right.
can be so many things. There's art in business,
so
right?
Many.
So,
yes.
But if you are looking at the external, you're forgetting what you're really doing, which is creating a piece of you and manifesting a piece of you out into space, you know? And I don't know, that's been such a process of growth, especially over the last 2 years for me, is just kind of doing things because I feel like this is what I need to do, not because I think that I need to make it look a certain way or make anybody else happy, but because I feel like when I really tune in and when I listen to myself, these are the things that I'm called to do. These are the things that I'm called to share and to create. And when you come from that space of what you know to be true about yourself and about what you're doing, then you can't really fail. Because even if it's not the best, you were coming from that space of pure intention and hard work, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people forget about, which is so important, because there is no other you, you know, when you're creating something that is truly from your heart and truly from inside of you, that is your self-expression for to the world. That is your gift to the world. And, you know, sometimes the external world doesn't get it. Sometimes they do. You know, it that really, like you said, that part doesn't really matter, because if you're fully expressing you, then, you know, who knows what's better for you than you. So that's
exactly.
Really beautiful, actually. Yeah, I love that. I love that. And
that can happen. I mean, you could, you know, say you are a painter, you could paint something and maybe no one else likes your painting. That's okay. Like, you made that painting, and if you know that you put everything of you into that painting, then it's great, you know, and it doesn't matter if no one likes that one. As long as you keep pursuing your art and your truths in your life, as long as you keep pursuing it from this positive space and from this space of truth within yourself, and you keep working hard, you're going to eventually create things that will translate to other people.
Yeah, that's so true. Because I think, and being that I grew up dancing, so you and I have talked about this before. I love watching a dancer on the stage, because the best dances are the ones that speak to my heart. And you see, feel, hear everything. Their heart is on the stage. Like, they've left it on the stage for you to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so magical. And I think for people that are just, you know, observers that maybe aren't working with, you know, the muse or spirit or tapped into the process behind creating choreography or performing or any kind of creative art where there's you know, creating and performing in it, there's such a, like you tapped into earlier, there's such a vulnerability. When you're up on that stage, it's like, whoa, it can be a little daunting, to say the least.
Just a little.
Just a little. But ultimately, and this is my experience, and I can hardly wait to hear your experience, because you are a professional. You know, I didn't go to the professional level, so I would love to hear your experience. Is when I was performing, I almost turned into a different person. I guess that's the best way to put it, because I would step onto the stage and I'd have a different persona immediately. And then I'd let go, and all of a sudden, like, I'd be finishing, you know, doing my final, you know, hold, and it's over. And I'm like, what just happened? Because it's just, there was a force, a life force streaming through me in that performance. That was so magical that, you know, I look back at performances and see them, you know, on video, and like, that was me, because it's just a very magical experience for me. Has that been your experience?
I have so many journal entries that I wrote almost immediately after getting off stage and just said, this is life. Like, this is the most, you know, so yes, I know that feeling. And I think that it's the same feeling that anyone gets to when they're in their zone. Like, I think that's what it is you're in the zone in this amazing way where you're connected to something bigger than yourself, A, and B, you're so present. And I think that, you know, and I never was able to think of it this way until yoga became such a big part of my life, but that space of being actually 110% in the present moment, where when you're on stage, you can't think about what's happening 1 second from now. You have to be doing what you're doing right now, and you have to be doing it well. And you can't think about what you just might have messed up or done really well the last second, because you have to be doing what you're doing right now. And and performers can tell you that too. Like, if you start thinking in your head about, oh man, I messed up that move, you're going to keep messing up more moves. And so the performance aspect is so amazing because of that. Like, you're so in the present moment. And again, I think that that's how maybe a pianist might feel when they're really playing that song. Or I wish I knew his name. My sister has her master's degree in psychology, and she shared with me this amazing amazing guy who has done studies, and he calls it, I think he just calls it flow. And I feel terrible. I wish I knew this man's name. But psychologist as well, and has done studies on the flow and what the flow is and how people who experience more flow in their lives tend to, by certain standards, live a happier and more fulfilling life. And all the flow is being present, you know, even down to people who are rock climbing, because you can't be thinking about anything else other than what you're doing now, or else you might fall off that rock. And it's that space of becoming present. Yeah. But it's that space that's so powerful and unlike anything else.
I love that. And you talk about rock climbing. I was talking with one of my friend's mothers the other day, and she was telling me a story of when she was rock climbing, and she was rock climbing in Utah. So, you know, these aren't like small rocks or like a rock wall in a gym. This is like legit, right? And
yeah.
She said that she was, you know, climbing, and they had all the supports and the, you know, the tethers and all of that. But she got to a point on the rock face where she couldn't go down anymore, so she couldn't go backward, and she felt too scared to go forward because she couldn't find a place to put her hand to pull herself up. So she said, like, she just let the fear go through her body, but once she got present to the fear and she just sat with it, it dissipated. And then instead what came in was a presence that gave her the will and the drive and the motivation to look up again. And she said, and she found an area that she hadn't seen before, and she was able to pull herself up and ultimately get to the top. But I thought, what a beautiful story for presence. Because
I
really
love that.
She was just stuck there on the rock, and, you know, stuck in the middle. It's like she couldn't go down. She wasn't sure how to go up yet. So she just took a minute and she went inward. And I think that today, you know, we live in such a frenetic pace today that, and you know, I do it too. I'm always on my smartphone. It's really bad, but I try not to be. But it's easy to fall into that trap and just to get, like, so, like, caught up in it that you start, like, spinning. And then, you know, a lot of people live there where they just are spinning constantly. And I have a lot of clients. For those of you out there, because I haven't mentioned this in a long time, I am a coach. I'm a success coach. For a lot of my clients, when they start to spin out like that, that's what I tell them to do, is to get present. It's just to get into the moment and just be. And I mean, you know, that's, you don't hear a lot of people saying that. You hear people saying, like, go, 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 just do it, just do it. It's like, okay. But if you push yourself too hard, you're going to burn out. So it's like that present moment is gorgeous.
Yeah, and that go, go, go space, which like you're saying, is kind of the structure of the society that we live in. What it creates is hasty decisions, which are often not the best, you know, and especially, you know, when you're doing anything, when you're creating, but when you're doing anything, those hasty decisions usually aren't the best. Then you're not putting everything into it because you're not being present. You're not putting your whole mind and heart, right? And it's not just heart and it's not just mind, it's both. And you can't put both of those two things fully into something if you're just trying to go, go, go. I thought it was so beautiful that you, in that story, were sharing how she said she had to just let the fear come through her first. And I think it's in one of Eckhart Tolle's books, he talks about, you know, whatever you resist will persist. If you keep thinking, I don't want fear in my life, then all you're repeating to yourself, to your mind, to your body, to every part and every layer of you is the word don't, first of all, and the word fear. And that's all your body hears. It doesn't hear the combination of what those two words mean. It just hears these negative things. And so you keep creating this thing that you're trying to avoid instead of just letting yourself sit with where you're at. And then from that space, once it does kind of start to clear through you, then finding, again, that focus of where do you want to be? Where do you see yourself going?
I love that. And that, you know, I think that's something that, if we had more people doing that, we'd have a much calmer society, you know.
I'm trying with all the yoga.
I know you are. I know you are. And for those of you that are local to the L.A., Orange County, San Diego area, I guess all of Southern California, it is totally worth the time to go to one of Steph's classes. They are amazing. I absolutely love your classes. You're my favorite teacher.
Oh, you're so sweet. It's my favorite thing to do, you know, and that is really why I teach, because before I was teaching, and I don't like to write this in my bio necessarily, but I am really open and I feel fine sharing that before I was teaching, I was bartending. I had a break in dancing after school and I started bartending, and I was really lost and I wasn't happy and I had no purpose in my life. I thought I was happy, but I wasn't. And my sister, my whole family sat me down and they were kind of like, what are you doing? But the one person who really, really made me think was my sister, who said, you know, I'm glad that you think you're happy. I'm glad that you maybe are happy and that you live by the beach and you get to hang out with friends at work and it's an easy job that makes you a lot of money. But at the end of the day, I'm sorry, but you're not really serving a greater purpose. And as your big sister, like, I think that you can be doing more. And that's all I want to say to you. And that hit me so hard. And I'm tearing up right now because that literally changed my life. And not immediately. It took a while for me to make decisions. But once I came to yoga and it started to change me and my thought patterns, and with those changes in my thought, I saw my life change around me. And that's my purpose now, is to hopefully share that with other people and to see that person who's angry for no reason at the cashier at the grocery store and invite them to come take yoga, whether it's at my class or anyone else's. And to hopefully just learn that all those life lessons of being present, of breathing, of creating joy from the inside out and allowing your life to shift because of it.
I love that. And I've been, practicing for 8 years now. Oh, wow. I didn't realize it's been that long. And you know, it's funny because I remember one of my friends, a coworker at the time, had said to me, because I was really stressed out, and so she had said to me, she goes, you know what, because she had a dance background too, so she said, because I, for some reason, was not connecting with dance classes in Orange County. In L.A., I used to take them all the time when I lived in L.A., but down here I haven't found anything. So she said, why don't you take a yoga class? And I was like, no, it's going to be too, like, meditative and slow, and she's like, no, just, like, it's not what you think, like, just, you know, take this one class and let me know what you think. And I took it and I fell in love with it, and I was like, wow, okay, so this is what I've been missing, because it was funny because you know, yoga can be sneaky in this way. At least this is my impression, is that I went in there thinking, yeah, I'm gonna get a good workout, but it actually, what I got back was me. Because it really internally did a lot of massive transformation within me. Because when you're on your mat, it's just you and your mat, and you are going inward, you are there, it's just you, you know. Sure, you may have people around you in class, but it's really about you and what you're doing. And what I learned over the years is I've transformed how I talk to myself. I mean, it was very, in the beginning, very critical, very demanding, very anything but gentle. And now it's the complete opposite. It's like, okay, you don't want to go deeper in that pose today? Okay, that's all right. Back off. That's okay. And it's funny because it's a complete transformation from where I was before. And yoga really has that power. It's so amazing. And obviously, it had that effect on you as well. And I love that you're sharing this with the world. And you know, if you could share with our audience, because obviously, you know, not all of them are local to Southern California, if you could just share with them the process of how you put together a class and kind of give them a snapshot of an experience, because her classes are really beautiful and very magical for me. I always get, like, aha moments, and I really feel my heart open up in your classes, which I love. So if you could just share with our audience a little bit like what your classes are like and what your intention behind them is, because it's really beautiful.
Yeah, I would love to. I usually, not always, but more often than not, most of the time, I start with actually what my general theme is, like what the message is that I want to share, because that's more important to me than the movement. The movement, you know, no matter what, the poses of yoga are going to transform your body and your mind if you let it in some way. So the poses are great, but as a yoga teacher, for me, my main focus is what else am I trying to share with my students? And that's usually where I start. So like this whole week for me is about filling your own cup. I saw someone posted on Facebook, actually, just a picture of an empty coffee cup, and it said, you can't pour from an empty cup. And I thought that was so powerful, especially around the holiday season when everyone is so focused on giving of their time,
yes,
and their expenses and their energy to everyone around them. And you have to remember to give back to yourself always. So giving back, the idea of receiving, of giving back to yourself is my theme for this week. And so with that, we did a lot of, first just being present, you know, getting away from that high-speed kind of activity, which you can do in most classes, but not all of them. You know, some yoga classes, I want to energize and empower my students to get up and to move their muscles and to shake and breathe. And this class is very much about getting really, really grounded and moving slow and knowing that that's okay. And you don't have to fill every space of time. And so that, you know, so that's where I start. And then as far as the movements go, allowing yourself to receive, a lot of that comes from opening your heart. So then I'll do a lot of yoga poses within the sequence that open the heart. And you have to, of course, when you're talking about your physical body, you've got to start small and gradually work your way up to bigger poses. And so you've got to start with small things that strengthen the body first before you can open it. And then I just move, you know, like we talked about at the very beginning, I just start to move. And I see, because sometimes you'll think of something that you think might be a really cool thing or a really great thing for your students, but then you actually try it in your body and you're like, oh, that actually feels really weird. so I always do my whole class before I teach it, because I want to make sure that I know what I want to know the experience that I'm giving to my students before I just put it on them.
That's great. I can see how some of the things will be like, that transition, no, not so much.
Yeah, you're like, and that's the cool thing about teaching yoga. And honestly, I think about any art is like, you don't have to, this was some advice that I got from one of my coaches when I went through one of my extended teacher trainings, Natalie Bailey. She told us, you do not have to reinvent the wheel. And it was almost like I got to take a big exhale when she said that. And it was some of the best advice I've ever gotten, again, as an instructor, but just as a person. It's like, you don't have to do the most crazy or the most innovative or the most this. Like, just do what needs to be done in your way of doing it and let go, you know? And so that's my classes. I try to just not try to do the craziest or coolest thing. I just try to share from the heart and then do things that I know will feel good in my students' bodies and be there to really help and support them.
I love that. I love that. And I, you know, I love your classes. They're so great. Well, I want to take a quick break because we've got a caller. So let's see who we've got on the line here. Hello there. You're on the air with us. Who do we have? Hello?
Hi. Hi, Jessica and Steph. First time listener.
Hi.
Steph, I don't know if you recognize my voice. It's Jess.
Yeah, I do. Hi.
So I was calling in because I heard you talking about flow, and I was like, it's Mike Chick sent me hi. So so I wanted to say, first of all, this has been really cool to listen in, because as somebody who's not a yogi, it's always good to hear and learn from other perspectives. And
Jen, will you tell everyone who you are really quick?
Yeah, so I'm Steph's middle sister. So Steph's the baby. I'm the middle. I have a background in organizational psychology, and so both of my sisters are yogis and introduced me to yoga. But as Steph was talking about flow and this idea of total absorption, I wanted to just quickly chime in case anybody's interested. The person who coined the term, his name is Mike Csikszentmihalyi. It's a Hungarian last name. I won't spell it out for you because that's a lot of letters. But basically, if you look up the idea of flow and search Mike CZ on Google, I'm sure he'll pop right up. He was, for me, going in and studying positive psychology, which incorporates a lot of the things that Steph has been talking about gratitude exercises and the science behind why that works and why, you know, we think of things like complaining as being cathartic and how that doesn't really work on how it attunes your mind to focus on the negative when you do things like that. So just wanted to offer that in case anybody's interested about some of the social science research behind some of the things that Steph has been sharing. So Mike Csikszentmihalyi, check him out. He is a fantastic person. I had a chance to study under him, which is just amazing because he's like a rock star. And now
wow.
So is my sister, so it's pretty cool.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate you calling in and giving that gift to our listeners, because I was even like, well, I'm going to have to Google this guy. So now you've just given me the information, so thank you. I love
hey,
that.
No problem. I'm here to serve.
Awesome, because we do. Yes, thank you, Jen, because we do talk about flow just on the show, and we've done that in other episodes as well. So I think our audience is really going to love this and enjoy, you know, reading more about it. So thank you for giving us that little gem. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys. This has been a blast to listen in, and I'll turn it back over to you and just listen and learn.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, we're just going to end the call now, but if you have any additional information, call back in.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks, Jen. Okay, wow, I'm so glad she called in. That was wonderful. Oh, my gosh.
I just have the biggest smile on my face because how blessed am I that my sister was, A, listening in, and B, took the time to call in. I'm so happy. I have the best family.
I'm feeling blessed too, because that I really do truly feel that was a gift for the audience, because, you know, as I mentioned, our audience is very interested in things like flow, in gratitude practices, and some people want to go deeper. I know I'm one of those people that is always intrigued to go deeper and wonder why, like, what's the why behind the, you know, the power of a gratitude practice. So I love that we can all find out now, you know, and go and Google and Mike, you know, CZ, whatever his long, you know, Hungarian last name is. But that's fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that, actually. I love that kind of stuff. I find it fascinating.
I think that's, like, the coolest part about all these things that we have been talking about is there is science behind all of it. You know, it's not some hocus pocus, you know, well, if you just believe, you'll know, like, these are real things. And for me, I've just seen it happen in my life, and not in my life only, but in other people's lives, and to see it manifesting in real life, and to be able to actually go online and look things up, because we have the power to do that with anything else in this age. You can go online and look up the changes that gratitude and positive thinking really do have in your life. And that's, I mean, that's the most powerful thing to me, is now you can look up the science of yoga even and what it does for your body and more.
I love that. And I think, you know, we're in a really blessed time right now to have access to all of this. And to, you know, it's like this constant state of expansion and more people getting interested in these kind of practices. And I love that, because it wasn't like this even 5 years ago. So I love that things continue to evolve and evolve at such a rapid rate in such a positive way. You know, I know there's a lot of society, especially just general society, likes to focus on the fear aspect of everything. But I think that there's a lot of positivity that's going on that isn't being highlighted. And part of what this show about is, you know, showcasing that and showcasing how powerful we are internally to change our own lives and to change the world in a positive way, too, to be able to take whatever gifts we've been blessed with and share them with the planet, which is exactly what you're doing. And I love that because it comes through. It's kind of how at the beginning of the show we were talking about how when you are really living from your heart, people can see it, they can sense it, they can feel it, and it's so much more authentic and attractive, really, to be coming from that space. Like, I'm sure there have been times, you know, we talked about the vulnerability of performing and putting, you know, things together, maybe putting a flow together for yoga, and have there been times when you're like, ooh, I don't know if I want to do this, but then you do it and it's been an amazing result?
I actually went through like a couple month phase where for some reason I had this blockage where I didn't believe that anything I was creating was good enough. But I had to keep teaching. It was my job. And I think that was when you were taking my class like weekly when I was at the studio closer to you. And so anyways, there was a phase where I think it was like at least 2 months where every time I went in to teach this class, and at the time I was teaching like at least 10 classes a week. And it was when I would teach it for the first time, which was on Saturdays, I would start my new flow. And I would go in to teach that Saturday class with so much anxiety. And even when class was over, I would leave and I would be like, everyone must have hated that. That was terrible. Like, that was terrible. It was awful. It was not, you know. And then everyone would walk out of class with the most amount of bliss and happiness on their face and thank me for class. And I was like, okay, it must be in my head. I guess it was fine. And then I would teach that same class a few more times that week. And by the end of the week, I was really, really comfortable and confident that it was, you know, that it was worth sharing. But I've had plenty of times where I'm not sure, where I doubt, where I don't think I'm good enough. But again, you have to just do it anyways, you know, and that was my main thing, was stay authentic, you know. And I tried to, even though I had that fear and doubt, I was like, well, I know that I care about my students and I know that I want them to, you know, experience a great class, to find joy and to, you know, have that space of being with themselves. So at the very least, you know, I'm just going to move from that space, even though I knew the fear and the doubt was there, just tried to offer what I could. And those were the things that came through. And those shone brighter than all the fear and the negativity that I was feeling, because a lot of that's just in your head. So if you move from your heart and you can kind of let go of what's in your head, a lot of times the heart will overpower.
Yeah, and I found that in my own experience, because that is so, I find so much truth in what you said, because in my own experience, and this is primarily, you know, what I'm creating with my business, is that the more I go into my heart center, and usually for me that getting physical, like moving my body and moving the energy around, is a really good way for me to get into the heart space. So once I'm in the heart space, then it's just a lot easier to create from there. And yes, I have those doubts too, like, is this really going to work? Are people really going to like this? You know, and then you get to the other side of that, you know, you go through that stream of, you know, putting it out there and then seeing what happens, and it ends up being a good thing. But there is a lot of letting go in the process. That was my biggest thing, was letting go of my own personal judgment, letting go of, is this going to be enough? That's still one that I struggle with. It's a big one. I think a lot of people struggle with that. And it can, unfortunately, keep them out of the game. But I think it's like the story I told about the rock climber. It's like you just have to become friends with that fear, or that, you know, whatever it is that's nagging at you. and move through it. Has that been your experience, the move through? Does that work for you in your process?
It does. And you know what else I really wanted to touch on that you brought up a couple times today is that, you know, you keep talking about coming into your body and dropping into your body and tuning into your body. And you know, of course, that's how I relate, again, with yoga and dance.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for those who maybe are listening who are like, well, I'm, you know, yoga's not my thing, dance is not my thing.
Right.
It doesn't have to be, you know, and that's something I do recognize as a yogi. Like, of course, I would love everyone in the world to do yoga and experience what I experience, but maybe they get that same thing from what they do. So that's fine. But
right.
My advice or what I would urge people to try is when you are in those blockages where you're feeling those negative, you know, the judgment and the fear and the expectation, become present, number one, and just breathe. And that, you know, that's that space of like recognize what's happening right here and now. Even if it's not what you want, that's okay. Just be for a moment and breathe. And then move your body a little bit. Because we all have a physical body, right? Like, we're all humans.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a body of some kind. They're all a bit different, but we all have a body. This is what we live in. And this is, I mean, if you can just breathe and do even a couple neck rolls or wrist rolls or stretch your arms over your head and do it slowly and take at least, you know, 5 deep, long breaths, you will feel better. You know, even if it's not infinitely
yes.
better, I guarantee after just a couple of deep, long breaths, and sometimes that's hard to do. You know, if you have bad anxiety, sometimes you're like, I can't take a deep breath. But if you
mm-hmm.
really just focus on the present moment and you allow yourself to take a deep breath and just move your body just a little bit, that thing that you live in, you will come back to that space where you can start to, you know, start to let go of those negative thoughts or feelings and let them dissipate and then allow yourself to come into all the other positive things that will start coming your way when you focus on the present.
Yes, I love that. And I love that you brought up the breath as well because, and, you know, I think you've mentioned this in one of your classes before about how most of us tend to live in shallow breathing from day to day, and we don't really realize we're living in shallow breathing. But when you get to a point where you're actually taking longer breaths, you know, coming from the diaphragm where you're actually, you know, taking those long, delicious breaths, it's actually a very calming feeling. And it can actually,
yeah.
I know for me, it really opens up the mind in a very short amount of time.
I mean, you know, in yoga, it's called, in yoga, breath is called prana, and it translates
right.
to life force. And in, you know, in Qigong, it's called qi. It's your life force
mm-hmm.
energy. And, I mean, it is. If you think about it, like, you can't breathe. If you can't breathe, you can't live. You're not alive if you're not breathing. So when you come back to your breath, you're simply coming back to the fact that you're alive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, if you can come back to that space of just actually noticing your breath and taking, yeah, those deep, full breaths, not short breaths, but really, really breathe in and breathe out, you're literally bringing life into your body. And the shifts, whether slight or, you know, hugely noticeable, they're still
mm-hmm.
profound when you come back to your breath.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. It's almost like an eye-opening process for me, especially if I'm in a place where I have a little bit of anxiety about something, or, you know, there's a worry that comes in to my head. Then that's when I know it's time to drop into my body and to take some deep breaths in order to get clarity. I find that helps me to get a lot of clarity and a lot of peace as well. I can access my peace a lot easier when I'm taking deep breaths. At first it's like, but then when you get through, you know, a few breath cycles, it's like, oh, okay, gonna be okay. It's
yeah.
not as bad as you think.
Yeah. And the breath is something that I use in my choreography. I mean, it's something I use when I do create dances, because if I just start breathing and I allow myself to just move my body, again, just finding that action, just doing it, and I'm just moving, and it's just me and my breath, the things that I come up with that I would have never just thought of out of nowhere are amazing sometimes because I'm just letting it happen, you know? And I think that's been huge. It's kind of as when you're creating, you have to get out of your own way. And
yes.
We create so many blockages for ourselves. You have to step aside from yourself and just let yourself go. And I remember this moment when I was on the beach with a friend and it was kind of cold in the off season, so no one was there. And it was dusk, getting dark, and he went to the car to go get some keys or I don't know what he needed, but I was on the beach by myself and I just was so peaceful and looking at the stillness and the open space around me, and I felt the need to move my body, and I stood up and I started moving and just breathing and moving and breathing and moving, and I wasn't trying to plan anything, and I didn't know that he had come back. It's like my best friend, and he had come back and was watching me, and I didn't know that. And then when I finally realized he was there, I was like, oh my God, how long were you there? And he was like, that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen you do. And
oh, wow.
And it was because I wasn't trying and I wasn't forcing anything. And I wasn't, you know, all I was doing was moving for the sake of moving and breathing. And so that is something when I kind of learned that lesson that day, that's something that I come back to when I try to choreograph. I set up my phone to record me, try to forget that it's there, and then I just move and I breathe, you know, and then I can watch that video later and pick out things that look really great and work really well and can come together to create a beautiful piece of art. But yeah, that was one of the most amazing lessons I've learned in creating. And I do think that space of breath, of presence, of just taking action simply to do it can apply to whatever your art form or creation form is.
Oh, I love that story. That is a beautiful story, and what popped into my head as you were explaining your process is you were just being. You were being in your natural state. That's the thing. I think that there's I know I had this misconception, is that you hear the phrase "be still." You know, and I thought it really meant like to be perfectly still and just sit there and hope that the information came in. That's how, you know, just, yeah, I was not getting it. But I didn't realize that being still is being in your natural state, whatever that may be for you. Because for all of us, it's different. You know, some people are really good at being still. I'm not one of them. If you look at the actual... being still, I like to move my body, and that's what you were doing. You were moving your body and you were breathing, which is you being in your natural state, which is, you know, why it was so organic and why it, you know, was such an amazing moment, is because you were being exactly, you know, who you came to this planet to be in that moment. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful moment, and it taught me a lot, you know, and that's something to be open to, that I've learned to be open to, is to allow yourself to learn every day just little lessons that present themselves, and to listen, you know, like my body wanted to move, and I realized when I said that maybe some people know what I mean and some people don't, but when you really do become super present, you'll start to notice things like that, you know. If I had just been talking and been active, I wouldn't have noticed that my body was like, hey, you need to get up and move, you know? And
right.
Sometimes if you become, you know, still in your mind, you'll realize that things will just kind of present themselves to you of, you know, take action in this direction or take action in this direction. And even if you don't know where that's going to lead you, just go. I remember I told a friend recently, we were camping in Joshua Tree. It was my first time there and it was so inspirational. And she's kind of looking for changes in her life, but is fearful of, you know, the overall plan and the overall goal and, you know, where am I going? And she was like, everyone tells me to just start, but I don't understand. Like, how am I supposed to just start if I don't know where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I was like, look, it's all you need to do is think about, you know, your truth, what's true to you and your heart. And then from that space, just take a step, just one step. Don't think about what's happening 2 steps or 200 steps from now. Just take one step. And when you keep taking one step at a time, your path just starts to kind of unfold in front of you. And it will take you somewhere you maybe that you did think you were going to go, or maybe completely somewhere else. But either way,
yes,
as long as you're super present and intentional with what you're doing along the way, you're going to end up somewhere good. Not easy,
I love
necessarily,
that.
You know, but
no, it's not. It's not, because sometimes I know in my own personal experience, sometimes it takes me places where I'm like, oh, that's a scary place. I've been trying to avoid
yep.
that place, you know, but there's something really magical in it. And, you know, one of those, in, you know, I'm going to share this with the audience in a show near and. See, I'm already choking on my words. It shows you that there's a lot of like, ooh, about this. But I'll just let the cat out of the bag right now. Me and a dear friend of mine who has actually been on the show before, her name is Julia Thornton. We are in the process of launching a spiritual community. And for both of us, it's something we've always wanted, like something in our heart, like something that we can, you know, gift to people to help them expand their spiritual gifts and understand spirituality in a more practical way on the planet. So as we've been tossing this around for a long time. So as we've gotten closer to, yeah, let's actually do something with it, which has been over the last few months, and then, you know, we were on a call the other day and we said, oh, so this is what it is. Oh, it's just quiet. It's like silence. There's like crickets. We're like, okay. We know what the next logical step is, but we were just a little like, ooh, wow, this is big. And, you know, I didn't want to necessarily take that next step, but I did, you know, and took that leap of faith. And right now, as I'm telling you this, like, there's so many like butterflies in my stomach, and I'm like, oh, because it's just, yeah, it's one of those things. So sometimes, and I tell my clients the same thing, just take one step in any direction. It doesn't matter what direction it is, just take one step, because when you take the one step, it'll actually start to clarify what
mm-hmm.
is best for you. Because you can take one step and realize, ooh, this is not aligning with who I am, and then that'll lead you to take another step that does align with who you are. So I think that there's a lot of beauty in that.
When I was in college as a dance major, I had so many times where I doubted that, you know, and I was like, I should be double majoring in something more practical. I should be getting a, quotes, real job. And at one point I thought I wanted to be a doctor because I knew that I wanted to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, and my mom is a nurse. And I was like, well, why don't I go into the medical field? I was like, I could be a nurse. And my mom was like, well, why be a nurse? My mom's the best. And she was like, well, why be a nurse? Why don't you be a doctor? And I was like, okay, great. So I started to look into this post-bac program that would catch me up with all the prereqs for trying to get into medical school. And
mm-hmm.
I went to this open house, and I was standing in a laboratory on the tour, and I felt like I was suffocating. And
ooh.
Beforehand, I was so excited. I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And I felt like it was right. Like in my body, I was like, yes, I'm going to help people. I'm going to be a doctor. That's my purpose. And then now I laugh about it because I'm like, that's so far from what I should be doing. But I was standing in this laboratory in the tour, and I literally felt like I was suffocating. Like I felt like someone had their hands around my throat and was choking me. And I...
ooh.
Couldn't, like, I was about to tear up, and they left that room to go finish the tour, and I like quietly snuck away and I left the tour. And I my mom had driven me that day because I actually didn't have a car at the time, and I got into the car and I started bawling, and she's like, what's wrong? And I said, I don't want to be a doctor, I can't do it. And she was like, well, why are you crying? That's fine. And I was just like, aren't you like sad or mad that I don't want to be a doctor? Like, I thought this was my thing. And she was like, well, no, you're still figuring out your thing. And now you know one thing that's not your thing. So now you're closer
right.
to figuring out what it is. And that was the coolest thing for me, because it's so true. You know, you take a step any direction, and it's either going to show you, you know, a little bit of this, or a lot of bit of this, or no, I don't want this. And all those steps are helpful.
Yeah, they are. And you know, listening to our internal guidance, which is exactly what you did, which is beautiful and so perfect because, you know, when we have those feelings, it's trying to tell us something. And there's a definite clear-cut way to tell, like, obviously, in your case, that was not where you were supposed to be. And then there's the excitement, like I was sharing about this community that we're launching, and those little butterflies that are in my stomach, yes, it's a little scary for us, you know, to launch this new venture, but it's also, there's a peace in my heart, though, that goes along with it. So my heart gets excited, like, woo, this is going to be fun! So I can't, you know, not, I can't, like, turn a blind eye to that. I can't just be like, yeah, whatever. No. It's like if your heart is telling you something, you have to honor it. And it's like when I started this show kind of on the same thing. I took a step. And I found today, and for those of you out there that have been listening to the show the last few weeks, have been a lot of pre-recorded sessions. And this week is live, which I'm so excited about. And I was telling Steph before we jumped on the show that I woke up this morning so excited because I knew that I'd be doing a live show and I knew I'd get to, like, play and have fun with Steph. And it's magical. So it's like one step can really just open up a whole new world for you that you didn't know existed. Like I had, you know, if someone would have told me last year, yeah, you're going to have a radio show next year, I would have been like, what? Who are you? Yep. Are you kidding me? You know, it's just,
my gosh.
You don't see
if someone
those
told
coming,
me
you know?
2.5 years ago that I was going to be doing what I'm doing now, I would laugh in their face.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing how that happens?
Yeah.
I love that. I do love that because it's, you know, you just see, so, you know, now nothing, I'm trying to get to the point where nothing would surprise me if, like, a future version of myself came to me and said something, I'd be like, okay, you know, rather than just laughing at it. Because there's been so many instances, especially in this year. This year's been a big year with lots of transformation, so there are lots of things that have come up that if someone would have told me a year or 2 years ago, I would have laughed at. So I hear you. I totally hear you on that. Oh, my goodness. Well, the time has flown by, as it usually does on this show, and it has been such a pleasure to have you here, Steph. I'm so grateful that you've taken the time out of your day to join us and to really share your experience with the listeners, because I really think that, you know, there's just so much here that they can sink their teeth into and really apply in their own lives. Thank you so much for that gift. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Jess. Thank you for inviting me on the show, and a thank you again to everyone who's listening. I'm really, really grateful to be here.
Yay. Well, this is the Divine It Girl radio show, and I'm your host, Jessica Nevins. We will be back next week with another whole new episode. Actually, we're going to be closing up the series next week, so make sure you catch that. And thanks for joining us today, and have a fabulous day. Love and sparkles to all.